Probably we shall be considering the life of Jacob. The last time I was talking to you about the covenant, Jacob was the third link in the chain of the covenant, but we will be looking at him in a practical way in his life this time. And the reason that I'm starting in chapter 29 is because last week, when I gave this message, the wires weren't breaking on the tape recorder, and this message has to be recorded to make it complete. And so instead of starting at chapter 30, as perhaps I would have, I have to tell you a little bit starting in chapter 29. So look at verse 16. Laban has been sent from home, Jacob to his uncle Laban's home, to secure a wife, and it says in verse 16, and Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were tender. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored, and Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave Zilpah, his handmaid, unto his daughter Leah, for an handmaid. And it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it is not so done in our place to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill the week of this one, and we will give thee the other also, for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so, and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her handmaid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and he opened her womb. But Rachel was barren, and Leah conceived and bare a son, and called his name Reuben. For, said she, because the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. And she conceived again, and bare a son, and said, because the Lord hath heard that I am hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, this time will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, and she left off bearing. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister, and she said unto Jacob, give me children, or else I die. And Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in God's stead, who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, that she may bear upon my knees, and I also may obtain children by her. And she died, two children. Now, look at verse 9. When Leah saw that she had left off bearing, she took Zilpah her handmaid, and gave her to Jacob, the wife, and she has two children. Now, over at verse 19. And Leah conceived again, and there are six sons to Jacob. And Leah said, God has endowed me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. And afterwards she bare a daughter, and called her name Dinah. And now look at verse 22. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her, and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son, and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, the Lord add to me another son. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we delight in the history of thy saints and thy dealings with men. Our Father, how different are thy words from the words of men. They are words about men, like unto ourselves, men of like passions, and yet they breathe of the spirit and life of God. Be thank you. We desire to learn the lessons that are contained in these verses that we have read, and so by thy Spirit do all that is necessary. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The first 7 years of Jacob's life with his uncle Laban could be called years of service. But his second 7 years can be called his baby-producing years. Because in these 7 years, he produces 13 named children. Now that is producing children. Of course, it took 4 wives, Leah and Rachel and their concubines, but still, God made them fruitful, one and then another. And so, after these last 7 years, Jacob has produced 13 children. 12 boys and 1 girl named Dinah. Oh, by the way, does anybody know what the name Dinah means? Do you know what the name Dan means? If you know what Paul means, you know what Paula means. And if you know what Dan means, you know what Dinah means. It's the same Hebrew word. Keep that in mind. I may tell you about it later. But 2 of them had children, and the sister, Rachel, had a son, and she called him Dan, and then her sister Leah had a daughter, and she called him Dana, but it's really Dina, Dinah. And so both of them give their children the same name. And so Rachel said, God hath judged of me. And then the sister Leah said, God hath judged me as well. But these were Jacob's baby producing years. And after so long, it finally begins to materialize in the fulfillment of that promise that God gave first to Abraham. God gave Abraham 1 son that was to be heir, Isaac. He gave Isaac 1 son that was to be heir. But now finally, when we come to Jacob, he has 12 sons, and then they start producing And now it looks like that promise is going to be fulfilled. I will make of thee a great nation, stars of heaven, dust of the earth, sand of the seashore. It only begins to materialize in the life of Jacob. And so in 7 years, his baby-producing years, Jacob becomes the father of no less than 13 children. I say no less than 13 because if you read in 2 other chapters, it mentions the named children and it speaks of Jacob's daughters as well, whereas only one daughter is named, and she is named because she is involved later on with Shechem, and we can't go into that now. But the other daughters have no such experience as Dinah had, and so of the other daughters of Jacob and his wife, only Dinah's name is mentioned. Well, it looks as if this young man, and I say that facetiously because how old is Jacob? 77 years old at the beginning of his service and 91 years old when he has his 13th child. Perhaps sometime I will tell you how to figure that out. That he was 77 years old, this young man left home at the age of 77, and then he started having children at 84 years of age. And when he's 91 years of age, he finally has no less than 13 children, and so it's a good thing that he finally did get married, decide to settle down, and then when he did, he produced children in abundance. And it seems at first as if this man who left home, you know why he left home? It is because of the murder in the heart of his brother Esau, because he had taken away Esau's blessing. And Esau said in his heart, my father is going to die one day, and when he does, I'm going to murder my brother. And his mother heard about it, and she sent him away. And yet she told her husband that the reason she was sending him away was to get a wife. And so Isaac sends him away with the thought of securing a wife. But in reality, his mother wants to have him to go away so that his life will be spared. She said, and when the anger of thy brother Esau passes, I will call and have you to return home and all shall be well. That day never came. But he stayed away all of these years. And finally, after 20 years, he comes home, and thank God he sees his father again, and he comes home, and he's 97 years old when he returns home. But he returns home a wealthy man, and he returns home with an abundance of children, and he's able to cheer the heart of his father, Isaac. His grandfather, Abraham, had only seen his son, Isaac, and Jacob, his grandson, only two. But now, this son comes home to his father, and here is an abundance of children. But he starts out, and it seems at first as if the past is forgotten. It seems as if the birthright out of which he bargained his brother, and the blessing which he took from his brother, that all of these things have passed, and they are forgotten. But even though all of these years have transpired, they have not been forgotten. And here is something that we Christians must understand, and it's this. The dual consequences of our sin. Perhaps someday I will give you a message on it in its entirety. The dual consequences of sin. I can assure you this, that if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never have to answer God for the eternal consequences of sin. You have escaped the lake of fire. Heaven is your portion. You will be with the Lord Jesus forever. But that does not mean that you shall escape the earthly consequences of sin. And it says in Galatians 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And even a man whose sins have been forgiven in their eternal consequences, there are earthly consequences that God can call him to pass for, or God in his grace can remove, the earthly consequences of sin as well as the eternal consequences of sin. But if you are familiar with the story of Jacob, you will see that God did not remove the earthly consequences of his sin. The chosen heir, yes, God set aside Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, with all of the ramifications of that verse. But still, here is one that sinned in his youth, that acquired what was to be rightfully his in a dishonest way, and now he goes, and what God lets happen is this. He lets him for 7 years experience the happiest years of Jacob's life. I'm wondering this. You husbands who have been married, and all of you who are about to be married, suppose, let's take the latter first, suppose the father came to you and said, before you marry my daughter, you've got to work for me for 7 years. Do you think you would get married? And at the same time, we husbands who have been married, after our marriage, you think back, would you have served 7 years? But Jacob is the one who says this. Laban said, what shall I wages be? And he said, I love your daughter, your younger daughter, Rachel. I will serve thee 7 years. And it says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. The happiest 7 years of his life. Now think, here they are, being served, and they seem as nothing to him. A few days. And he's looking forward in this happiness to the culmination of that happiness, and then spending a life of bliss with Rachel. But he forgets that there is one who is sharper than he is, and it is his uncle Laban. You must understand that Jacob's mother, who was the one who taught him how to deceive his father Isaac, Rebecca, was the sister of Laban, the man now that is dealing with Jacob. And so Jacob has his mother to teach him devices. But when he gets over with his mother's brother, Jacob is no match for his uncle Laban. And if God had not intervened, he would have gone home a pauper without anything. And yet, here he is, and the 7 years labor for his uncle Laban are the happiest years, but Laban has a scheme. Because he doesn't want his labor for 7 years, he has to figure out a way to get his labor 14 years. And so, the time finally comes, and he says to Uncle Laban, give me my wife. Think now, I'm wondering if I had promised a man my daughter for laboring 7 years, and he was as faithful as Jacob was in laboring, I might have said, son, you've worked hard. I'm going to let you have her in 5 years. But from this account, after the 7 years are gone, Jacob has to go up and say, the years are gone, I fulfill my time, give me my wife. Why, Laban could have said, oh, it's 7 years, oh, I so quickly, what do you know? Had it been 8 years, he probably would have let it go on and on. But Jacob is the one who initiated it. It wasn't that Laban was waiting for that celebrated day, but Jacob was. And when he finished those 7 years, he said, the time of my service is up. Give me Rachel to wife. And then, this is when God required the path. And Jacob went to bed thinking that he went to bed with Rachel. And he woke up in the morning, and it turned out to be Leah. And then he went to Laban, and he said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for thy daughter Rachel? How is it that thou hast beguiled me? And that same word, beguiled, part of it is used when Jacob beguiled his old blind father and outwit his brother Esau. Because when it happened, his father said, thy younger brother came with guile. And now Jacob uses that word. How is it that thou hast beguiled me? And so he felt the bitterness of his devious ways with his father and brother had been forgotten. But God never forgot him. And he beguiled, stole his brother's blessing. And so now, Uncle Laban with guile steals the thing that is most precious to him, the woman that he loves, and substitutes, notice, the elder for the younger. The mother had substituted the younger for the elder. And in his father's darkened blindness, it happened. And now, in the darkness of night, this woman is substituted. He thought that he was getting Rachel, but instead, Leah was substituted in the darkness. And so God has worked this thing out. And now, Jacob cries out in a small way, like unto the way that his brother Esau cried out. It said that when Esau discovered what had happened to him, he cried with an exceeding bitter and grievous cry, "Bless me, O my father." And now, for the first time, Jacob experiences in his soul the bitterness that his brother Esau experienced in his soul. And we'll never experience it ourselves if we deceive somebody, and we never experience a light deception in our own soul. Because we can say, "Oh, well, it wasn't so bad. You'll get over it." And then when it happens to us, then Jacob understands. And if I read the chapter correctly, the reason I believe that he yielded to his father-in-law's suggestion, "No, you fill out your wheat with this one, and then I will give you the one that you love. Of course, you'll have to work 7 more years for." And what can a man do when he has sinned and he thinks of his past and what he has done in the past comes into his life? It makes a man's hands hang down and his knees become like water, because it says the righteous are bold as a lion. But when a man who has been a trickster is caught with a trick by another man, well, it weakens him, and he thinks back, and he understands the justice of God. And so now this man, his life that was that moment to turn into a life of bliss, God gives him this wife that he loved, but he makes it so that his life is going to be one of constant misery for this reason. Leah has as much claim upon Jacob as her husband as Rachel has upon Jacob as her husband. He could not send her away and say, "Go your way," because Laban is the one who arranged it all. And now Leah and Rachel are the wives of Jacob. And this is what spoiled it all. This is the fly in the ointment. If Jacob could have just lived alone with his wife Rachel. But now Leah is to be with them. And so there is constant envy and jealousy and contention among these wives, and they are sisters. And so think of this. When Jacob was serving the first 7 years, he would go out into the field and he would labor, but it said this labor for his uncle Laban. Why, this labor seems but a few days for the love he had for Rachel. But now he served him 7 more years, but they are bitter years, because he thought he had already served 7 years for Rachel, but he found out that he served these 7 years for Rachel, and he did not love Rachel at all the way, or Leah, the way that he loved Rachel. And so his next 7 years are years of misery for this reason. Now, this uncle Laban, he is his uncle and his father-in-law as well, you read of what he did to him. This is the way it was when he was out working. If anything was stolen, Jacob had to make it good. If it was torn by beasts, Jacob had to make it good, whether by day or by night. "But Uncle Laban, I have to sleep." "It doesn't make any difference. You should have been watching when that bear came and stole my flock. You are responsible for it. I'm taking it out of your wages." "Yes, Uncle Laban. Yes, Uncle Laban." He said, "The drought consumed me by day." And he said, "The frost I froze by night." This is what happened. And so working those last 7 years were drudgery, filled years, filled with misery. They were years of labor. And before, when he would come in from the field, he could go and court his bride-to-be, Rachel. But now, he comes in from the field and there's no consolation, because when he comes into the house, if he shows any affection toward Leah, then Rachel is jealous. If he shows affection toward Rachel, then Leah is jealous. And they're continually contending with one another. And you'll find this if you read about it. Jacob comes in from the field. He's been laboring for Uncle Laban. And one of his sisters is meeting him and saying, you've got to go and sleep with this other sister tonight. And so when he comes in from the field, instead of rest and comfort with his wife, there is contention. And so he wants to get away from Uncle Laban from the field. And then he comes home and he has these two wives that are constantly after him. You see, Leah is having children. And then Rachel comes to him and says, why don't you give me children? And so nothing can go right. He comes home and there is contention. And he goes out to the field and there is drudgery. And so the last 7 years we expected to turn into years of bliss, in fact, turn into years of drudgery. And let me sum it up for you. And I want you to remember this. All of us who have had our sins forgiven, we had better take heed and walk softly, even though we are saved. When Jacob appeared before Pharaoh, I am condensing it. Pharaoh said to him, how old are you? And Jacob said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. This is what he tells the ruler of the known world. He says, few and evil have been my years. Why? He thinks back over his life that these wives, two wives, and these two concubines, the contention working for his uncle Laban, and he thinks back, and his life has been one of bitterness at the first and throughout his life. I shan't tell you now about all the bitterness that his children brought into his life, but this is what happened to Jacob. And I want you to remember these two verses. You'll find them in the book of Job and in the book of Psalms. I won't tell you exactly where, so you'll have to listen to me. But David says in the Psalms, remember not the sin of my youth. God can remember the sins of your youth. I told you that God can remember them. God can either graciously forget them. And Jacob and David says, in thy loving kindness, remember thou me. And so God, even after you are his, can remember the days of your youth. You remember the days of Jacob's youth. And this is what Job says. Job says, God is bringing upon me the iniquity of my youth. He is making me to inherit the iniquities of my youth. And so you think back what you did in your youth. And if you please God, God not only saves your soul from the eternal consequences of sin, if you please God and do what is right, God can make your life one with happiness. But this is what I found. And all of you Christians, you listen well. Tell me one promise that God has ever failed to keep for you. You say, God never fails to keep his promises. Tell me one promise that God ever failed to keep for Jacob. You say, every promise was kept. So was his life one of joy and happiness and abundance? He said, he summed it up. He said, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. And yet God never calls a promise to fail. And this is what happened. And I've seen it in Christians' lives. They disobey God. They go contrary to his word. And they come out to the meeting. They remember the Lord. They come to the meeting. They hear the same sermon. And somehow they get a little good out of it. But they go and they're pressed down. They have heavy burdens when they go through life. I know some who constantly have sorrow and marks upon their faces because their children were bringing them sorrow. And yet they were glad the Lord saved them and God loved them and they would pray to the Lord. But their life was a life of misery. And this is what it says in the Psalm. It says that God consumes their days with vanity and their years with terror. And what is so bad is this, if you sin is involved in me. You remember when Joshua and Caleb were they who wanted to go immediately into the promised land. But the 10 spies said no. And God consumed for 40 years their days and their years with vanity and with terror. And Joshua and Caleb had to be associated with them the 40 years. And so their sins not only involved them, but it involved others as well. Try to live for God. I, by God's grace, shall try to live for Him, because my sins involve you. As it says in Joshua 7, Achan hath sinned. Israel hath sinned. It involves us. And God makes us to inherit the iniquities of our youth, and He consumes our days with vanity and our years with terror. And it says this also in the Psalm. You were a God who forgave it then, though thou tookest vengeance of their doom. Forgiven, but taking vengeance? Yes, I told you that there are two parts to forgiveness. The eternal consequences, but the practical outworkings on life. You forgave them, but took vengeance. And this is what happens to so many Christians. Your life might be one of misery right now. You say, I'm saved, yes, I wouldn't have it any other way, but your life is one of misery. Why? Because just as Jacob, even though you are a chosen one, you have determined to get things your way rather than God's way. And so your life and your days and your years are consumed with vanity and terror, even though you are God's child. And the Lord Jesus came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. He gave us richly all things to enjoy. And that is what He wants. He doesn't want us to be miserable on earth and finally when He descends from heaven with a shout to be caught up to be with Him and have joy then. But He wants us to enjoy life now. And so we had better be thinking of these things. And we had better be confessing the sins of our youth and saying, Lord, I thought that they were all gone and the consequences of them were removed. But I see, Lord, I haven't repented of them, and I'm still filled with trickery. I'm still filled with guile. And God is able to cause us to inherit the iniquities of our youth. But if we are forgiven of our sins, and we renounce our past, and then we walk honestly before God, God can make us happy on earth as well as eternally happy in heaven. And so these are the first 14 years of Jacob's life. I was in home, and we come, and we pray. Our Father, we are so glad that in spite of what we did in the past, and in spite of the imperfect way that we served thee since we've been saved, still, we are thine. We shall spend eternity with thy Son. But Lord, thou wouldst have us to enjoy life now. Thou wouldst say to us, enjoy life with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of our life. And so in marriage, let us enjoy life. With our children, let us enjoy life. With our brothers and sisters in Christ, the meeting, the fellowship, the gathering. We pray, Father, that all of these things shall be a joy to us and not a drudgery. May we not be those who survive and barely get by, but may we experience the joy of being more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Let us be able to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Father, we thank you that as Jacob, we shall be with thee in the coming days. But we pray that as Jacob, we shall not inherit the sins of our youth, and we shall not bitterly experience the tricks that we pulled on others in the past, and perhaps we have not repented of. But teach us, work upon our hearts, and let us think these things through. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. You live.